Yep, we're up to Hosea, what's called the ninth chapter, the 15th pasuk. We had been learning that the prophet had been telling the Jewish people that they've gone great lengths to sin, and God even compared their sins like the tribe of Benjamin on their mountaintop, where one mountaintop got together to take a girl forcibly from her husband, and then the rest of the tribe wasn't willing to hand them over to the Jewish people to be judged. And God said that just like a person who's traveling the desert, if he happens upon grapes, he gets very excited. The grapes satiate his thirst. So too, initially God had such great love for the Jewish people, their forefathers, but they sinned. And Ephraim, because of their sins, will lose all the honor that God gave them, to the point where God says their children will die in front of their eyes. And God says to Ephraim, to the northern 10 tribes, you witnessed how other nations fell because of their sins. You too will fall. And God warns them that if they continue their pagan ways, then Hashem will kill their children before their eyes. And what we're up to, Pasuk Tetvav, the Navi says, Kol ra'atam ba'gilgal kisham senetim. The worst that they did was that they established their idols in Gilgal. Gilgal was the first place we camped with the Mishkan when we entered the land of Israel. So when they initiated their idol worship, they initiated it specifically in Gilgal. So Hashem says, Hashem says, I hate it that they went there. Why? Al roa malileihem mi beiti agarishem. God says, because of their evil doings there. Over there, they sacrificed their kids to idols. And so Hashem says, I will chase them out of my house. Gilgal was initially God's resting place. Initially, when we entered the land of Israel, that's where the Mishkan was established. So Hashem again refers to it as his home. Mi beiti, from my home. Agar Hashem, I will chase them out. Lo osef ahavatam kol sareihem sorerim. I will not continue to love them. Lo osef ahavatam, because all of their leaders, kol sareihem sorerim, they're all turning off the path, they're all thieves, they're all cheating and stealing and deceiving the people. Now, we read a pasuk like this, we have to stop and say, oh, what does that mean? Lo osef ahavatam, I'll not continue to love them. So we have to remember what the Gra writes in Tfilah. The Gra writes, we say at night, ahavat olam, we Ashkenazim. We say by day, Ahava Rabba, the blessing prior to Kriya Shema. And Ahavat Olam means an eternal love. We describe the eternal love God has for us. Ahava Rabba means a love that is swelling. So the Gra says, within our relationship with Hashem, there are two types of love. There's a love that wanes and waxes like the moon. Depending on how we behave, that love can go up, can go down. And then there's, beneath it all, there's Ahavat Olam, an eternal love. I always say that's the way it has to be between spouses. Ahavat Olam is forever.
Yeah.
And there always has to be a basis, we're together. Then there's Ahavat Rabba, that grows and gets less and gets more. And, it really corresponds to the day and to the night. The night is always emunatcha balelot. At night, we have to have faith in Hashem. We don't see things. So night is always a reference to the time when the Jews are exiled, the temple is destroyed. That's like the night. And the day, when the sun is shining, so that's we say that's when things are going well, when we have the throne, when we have our leaders, when we have the Beit HaMikdash. So by day, we say Ahava Rabba. The daytime is the time when we can witness the love. The love is great. The nighttime, when you don't see it, when the Jews are in exile, that's Ahavat Olam. We rely on the eternal love. So over here, when the Navi says, "Lo osepa habatam," so we could understand it, I won't add to my love, or we can understand it, I will not continue to love them. But then we would say that this is a reference to the Ahava Rabba. There's always the Ahavat Olam, there's always that basis of eternal connection, but God says, I won't continue to give them more than that. Huka Ephraim Shosham Yavesh Peri Val Yaasun. Ephraim has already been hit. Remember, the destruction of the northern 10 tribes went in stages. Initially, there were the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan. They were exiled. Then the northernmost tribes were exiled. And then the Assyrian Empire swooped down and took the rest of the 10 tribes. So Ephraim has already been hit. And so Shosham Yavesh, their root, so to speak, is already dry. A tree whose roots are dry, they can't give fruit. They can't continue growing. So too, Ephraim has already witnessed the attacks that have limited its capacity for growth. And therefore, they won't have fruits. They're not growing. Kam ki yeledun ve'imati nachmadei vitnam. And even if some of them will succeed in giving birth, Hashem says, their treasures, the treasures of their stomachs, their children, their best, Heimati, Hashem says, I will kill. Yimaseim Elohai. My God, Elohai, Yimaseim, will be disgraced, will be disgusted with them. He will distance them. Ki lo shame'u lo. For they haven't listened to him. They're not willing to listen to the prophets. They're not willing to listen to Hashem's mitzvot. And as a result of that, they will be wandering Jews. They will wander among the nations. They will have to wander. Israel is like a grapevine that is dry, that is empty. Bokek is empty. Bokek is looted, that has nothing to offer. So too Yisrael is like a grapevine that everyone came and smashed all its grapes. There's nothing left to take from them. So if the Jewish people, they think their strength is in their army, they think their strength is in the economy. God tells them, no, you're empty. If you don't have the Torah, if you don't have the content, Gefen Bokek Yisrael, you don't have Torah and Yiras Shamayim, the Navi says you're empty, you're an empty grapevine. Peri Yeshavelo. And God asks, do you really think God will give you fruit if this is the way of life you live? Peri Yeshavelo is in question mark form. Do you think you'll be given fruit? Kirov lefiryo, kirba lamizbechot. The more fruits they had, the more good I gave them, God says, the more altars they established for idol worship. So Hashem says, why would I bother giving them fruit at this point? They've proven themselves that kirov lefiryo, the more fruit I've given them, the more blessings I've given them, the better I've made their economy. The more they offered sacrifices in their idol, for their idols. Ketov le'altso heitivu matzevot. The better I made it for them in their land, the more altars they established for idols. So they made fancier temples, they made fancier altars. Mizbeach is an altar that's composed of many stones. Matseva is an altar that's composed of one stone, one big stone. That's why he describes Matsevot and Mizbechot. Chalak libam, ata yeshamu. Their hearts have been divided from me, Hashem says. And therefore, the time has come for them to be desolate, for the land to be barren. Hu yarof mizbechotam yeshoded matzevotam. he will destroy those altars. Hashem says, I will give the enemy the capacity to swoop down and destroy all the altars they made for idols, and he will come and destroy the matzevot, the altars, the single stone altars. Ki ata yomru ein melech lanu. And then, when they witness the destruction, then they're going to say, we don't really have a king. We don't. What king do we have? The king doesn't help us. He doesn't help us in fighting against the enemy. They'll see they're losing the war. Ki lo yareinu et Adonai ve'amelech mayaselanu. Then they will recognize that this all stems from the fact that they were not yarei et Hashem. They weren't fearing Hashem, and so what's the king going to help us? Right now, they have faith in their economy, and their army, and their king, and their leaders, and their Misrad Achutz, their consulate general, and everyone. They're saying, "Oh, they're doing a great job." Hashem says, "When everything will be destroyed, then they will give testimony. Then they'll say, what good is the king? At the source of it all, our existence was because Hashem ensured we last here. And when we're not yaret Hashem, so what's the king going to do now?" Dibru devarim alot shav karot berit. They said whatever they wanted when things were going well. Whatever they thought they said, and they never thought that we're swearing falsely. Dibru devarim. They said whatever they pleased. Alot shav. They took false testimony. Karot berit. They made a pact with idols, with pagans. Ufarach karosh mishpat. And therefore, the justice, the payback for this behavior, Hashem says, will spread over them like rosh. Rosh is a bitter grass. And it's a bitter grass that spreads quickly. It's like a weed that destroys all other good grasses. So Hashem says, Ufarach karosh. And like the bitter grass of rosh, it will spread, it will blossom mishpat. The justice against them, the word mishpat could mean justice, the word mishpat could mean punishment. Al talmei sadai. Over my fields, over the furrows of my field, and this is both sides of the metaphor. On the metaphorical side, just like the rosh spreads over a meadow quickly and takes over any good grass, so too the justice and the punishment will spread over them. And the justice and punishment will spread al talmei sadai, over all of my fields, over all of the land of Israel. Leglot beit aven, because of the calves that they set up to serve as idols. Yaguru shechan shomeron, when they see that these calves that they've been worshipping, they have been taken into captivity, so then they'll start being scared. They'll say, wait a second, the enemies entered our temple, they took our God. If our God, that golden calf, couldn't protect itself, what's happening next? What's going to happen to us? Ki aval alav amo. For the nation that had faith in that calf will mourn when that calf is taken into captivity. Uchmarav alav yagilu al kivodo ki galam imenu. And the komarim, the priests that always used to rejoice around this calf, they made their money off of this calf, right? Uchmarav alav yagilu, and the priests that used to rejoice over this calf, al kivodo, they too will mourn over the honor of this calf, ki galam imenu, because it was all the honor has left it. Once the Jewish people see that the calf is taken into captivity, they'll realize it was ridiculous to worship that calf. Gamoto lashu yuval mincha lemelech yarev. Just as the nation will be taken into captivity into the Assyrian Empire, so too the Assyrians will take the calf into the Assyrian Empire and bring it as a gift to their king. Boshna Ephraim yikach. And then everyone will look at Ephraim, at the 10 northern tribes, and mock them. Boshna, like Busha, Boshna, shame, Ephraim Ikach. Ephraim, the northern 10 tribes, will have to take shame when the Assyrian Empire looks at them and says, this is what you worship? Look, we captured it. This was your God. Boshna, Ephraim Ikach. Ephraim, the 10 northern tribes, will take shame. V'yevosh Yisrael me'atzato. And Israel will be ashamed because of their thoughts over the last centuries to worship this golden calf. Nidme Shomeron Malka. And the king of Shomron, he will be similar to Kiketzif Alpenemayim, like the foam, the bubbling over the water, that it constantly goes up and then it settles down. So too the king of Shomron will be like the bubbling of over a boiling pot, that you look at the bubbles and in a second they're gone. So too his kingdom is not going to last. V'nishmedo b'mot aven. And then when his kingdom is destroyed, the altars that they set up for idol worship, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Chatat Yisrael, the sin of Israel. These altars will be destroyed. Kotz v'daldal yale al mizbechotam. Thorns will grow over them because no one's going to come to use those altars. They will be exiled. So kotz v'daldal, different types of thorns, yale al mizbechotam, will grow and cover these altars. V'ameru leharim kasunu. They'll call out to the mountains and they'll say, cover us, give us refuge, let us hide. And to the hilltops they'll say, niflu aleinu, fall over us, cover us, give us coverage from the enemy. They won't turn to the altars they used to worship initially. Here there's room to think about what Chazal told us, that Harim and Gvaot is a reference to the Avot and Imahot, right? We said throughout Tanakh, Harim is a reference to the merits of the Avot, Gvaot is a reference to the merits of the Imahot. Maybe we could also say over here that they'll call to the merits of the forefathers and matriarchs when they'll see the destruction coming, and God says it's not going to work. So, should we pause here or end on a good note? Should we go three more psukim and end on a good note? Yeah? So it's always good to end on a good note. And it's rare in this class that we could end on a good note. Okay. Mimei hagivah chatata Yisrael. God says, this isn't a new thing. From the days of the hilltop, from the days when the tribe of Benjamin had one hilltop, where all the people of the hilltop gathered, the bums, the gangsters gathered, and took a man's wife forcibly. From those days, the people of Israel have been sinning, God says. They had all this time, they had Pesel Micha. We're going to learn Be'ezrat Hashem on Sunday about the idol that Micha established and stayed within the Jewish people for generations. God says, idol worship has been in your midst from centuries ago. Sham amadu. There, in that state of being unfaithful to me, in that state they have stayed. Lo tasigeim bagiva milchama al bnei avla. Hashem says, and that's why. I'll find it. Here you go. We're up to what's called the 10th chapter, the 9th pasuk. Lo tasigem bagiva. That's why when they hit the hilltops to go to war, they won't find victory on the hilltops. When they go to war, al bnei avla, when they go to war against those that have sinned, God says they're unsuccessful. So here the Pasuk is really taking us back in history. The Pasuk is, the prophet is coming to answer a question that should bother people. We read the story about how the tribe of Benjamin had these gangsters in their midst that surrounded a house and took a man's wife forcibly. And then the rest of the tribes come to the tribe of Benjamin and say, give over the people who did that. The tribe of Benjamin refuses. There's civil war. The 11 tribes attack the tribe of Benjamin. You'd think they'd succeed. The first time they go to war, they lose. The second time they go to war, they lose. The Jewish people lose the first two battles against the tribe of Benjamin. So the question is why? And here the prophet answers it. The prophet says, from the days of the hilltop, when you went to war, and you were going to war over a matter that it would seem you should have won, because you were going against something improper that happened. But Chatata Yisrael, you the Jewish people, then you were sinning. You had in your midst one tribe, the tribe of Dan, had half their territory worshipping an idol. The idol in the north, in the Chatzmani, they had Pesel Micha. You had half a tribe worshipping idols, and you did nothing about it. You thought you can go to war over something that's immoral. You said, the rights of man, we're going to be liberal, we're going to be fight for people, human rights. And what about God's rights? What about the fact that you have pagans in your midst that you didn't think you have to fight over? Half a tribe is worshipping an idol and you don't say anything. So you felt it's beneath your dignity to have this happen in your midst. Fine, I'm with you on that. If you're consistent. But Mimea Givah, from the days that you fought over that hilltop, Chatata Yisrael, you have been sinning, Israel. You've been having people in your midst that were pagans. Shamamadu, and in that state of having sinners in their midst, having idol worshippers in their midst, you've maintained that status ever since then. And therefore, Lo Tasigem Bagivah, Milchama al Bnei Avla, you weren't successful over that hilltop the first times you went to fight those who were sinners, because you weren't clean. You had this sin in your midst as well. De'avati ve'esorem, Hashem says, and therefore it is my desire to afflict them. Ve'usifu aleihem amim de'osram lishtei avonotam. And nations, many nations will gather to attack them. The attack on Israel was by a group of nations. The Osram Lishtei Avonotam, because they have been bound to their sins. And therefore Hashem says, the Osram, that I will, so to speak, bind them to the plow. Just as when you plow with an animal, you plow ordinarily with you put one animal with one plow. God says, I'm going to treat you like an animal that has to pull two plows. I'm going to punish you for your sins together. Therefore, when things go bad, you won't just have one enemy attacking. Suddenly you'll have an attack on all fronts. You'll have many enemies attacking. Because I'm going to bind you to all of your sins, to the sins of the past, the sins of the present, and the multiple sins that you've been doing. Hashem says, I'll bind you to all of them at once, like one would bind a cow to more than one plow. And therefore the attack and the destruction is going to be on multiple levels. Ve'efraim eglah melumada ohavti ladush. Ephraim is like a cow that's been taught to pull the plow, and she likes to thresh. She doesn't like to plow. God says, I taught Ephraim, I gave them the Torah, I taught them to do Torah and mitzvos, and all they want is the wages. They don't want to do work. When a cow threshes, so there's all the grain is all around, so it eats as it threshes. So cows like to thresh. They're walking around and they're threshing and they're eating. So God says, V'efraim eglam elumada, is like a cow that you took the time, a calf, you've taught it to work, but ohavti ladush, the calf says, I just want to thresh, I just want to eat. Vani avarti al tuv tzavara, God says, but I've passed my hands, and I've grabbed her throat, and I saw, oh, she's fat, she's ready to have the yoke on her back. God says, I looked at Ephraim, and I saw that they're fitting for the mitzvos. They're ready to accept the mitzvos. They have the strength for that. Al ki v'Efrayim yacharosh Yehuda. And that's why I put the Torah on their back. That's why I told Yehuda and Ephraim, do the mitzvos. You're fit for it. There are nations that don't have the strength to do the Torah. You, I've checked, you're fat. You have the strength for it. Yeshadid lo Yaakov. And therefore, everyone has the obligation to do the mitzvot and then reap the fruit. Now, here we can expand on this. The Gemara says that there are different creatures that were given brazenness in the world. The Gemara goes through different animals and different creatures. The Gemara says the most brazen nation in the world is the Jewish people. And God said, if I don't give them the Torah, they'll harness atomic energy and destroy the world. They are the most destructive force in the world, God says. The Jewish people have the greatest potential to do everything. And God says, I checked this cow. She's fat. She can do a lot. I took her by the throat and I said, oh, she's a fat cow. And she can do a lot of good. And she can do a lot the other way too. And so Hashem said, I'm going to give them the Torah. And the Torah is what's going to harness them and guide them to use their strengths for good. Because of their dual potential. Their potential to go either way. So Hashem says, I gave them the Torah because they're strong and they have potential to do good. And therefore, and we'll conclude with this pasuk for today, Hashem tells the Jewish people, Ziru lachem litzdakah, kitzru lefi chesed. Hashem says, it's for your benefit. Plant for yourself righteousness. When a person does tzedakah, when he does charity, it's like a person that's planting. You don't always eat the fruit of what you plant. You plant a tree, sometimes it's your children, your grandchildren. When you invest in the society, you invest in doing charity, you're investing in yourself as well. So Hashem says, Zir'u lachem litzdakah. Plant for yourself to lead righteous life. Kitzru lefi chesed. And you will harvest in accordance with the kindness that I do. You do tzedakah, you will get chesed. Hashem pays back a person. We know one of the things we said this morning. Elu dvarim she'adam ochel protein ba'olam hazeh v'akan kem tol ha'olam haba. The following things we get fruits from in this world, but the principles waiting in the world to come. What is it? One of them is gmilut chesedim. You do kindness to your fellow man, there's fruits right away in this world that we benefit. Hashem says, Ziru lachem litzdakah, kitzru lefi chesed. You plant with the righteousness, you'll harvest with the kindness. Niru lachem nir. And you should make furrows. What do you do when you make furrows? You bring the plow and you're preparing for planting. So too, when a person wants to prepare for the service of Hashem, he, so to speak, has to plow his heart. A person comes to yeshiva, he has all kinds of thoughts, he has all kinds of things that are like weeds in his heart. So just like when you're ready to plant, you have to plow. A person wants to come to learn, he also has to plow his heart. He says, wait a second, if I'm going to learn Torah, it's not right I should look at pictures like this on the internet. It's not right I should do all kinds of things that I'm used to doing. A person wants to come and do what's right. Hashem says, even the chesed you want to do, you want to do kindness, plow your hearts. Prepare yourself. Think for a second. Niru lachem nir. Plow for yourself a furrow. When a person does that, then his plants will grow correctly. Otherwise, what happens? The weeds remain, he plants, and the weeds sap all the strength from the plants he plants. The same thing happens with the Torah and the mitzvot that we do. If a person doesn't prepare himself for mitzvot, if a person doesn't work on taking out the weeds from his behavior, from his heart, what happens is even the mitzvot he does get sapped by the things that he's doing wrong and the thoughts that are wrong in his heart. Ve'et lidrosh et Adonai ad yavo v'yoreh tzedek lachem. Hashem says, and set times in your life, ve'et lidrosh et Hashem, to seek out Hashem. A person shouldn't just say, you know, I'll have an epiphany, I'll connect to God, you know, maybe sometimes we'll connect. No, ve'et lidrosh et Hashem. A person has to set time. God tells the Jewish people, this is the way you'll correct your ways. Ve'et lidrosh et Hashem, set time in your life to connect to Hashem. That's why we go to the Kotel, Ma'arat HaMachpelah, Kever Rachel. We could daven here. Just so you have a minyan here, you don't need to go to a minyan there. What we're doing is we're taking time and we're saying, this is going to be a unique opportunity to connect to Hashem. This is going to be a moment which I'll be more aroused in. Technically, you daven in a minyan here, that's just as good as the Kotel. Oh no, I go to the Kotel, I'm closer to God's home. I daven there. We know that has its own merits, but it's also supposed to arouse something within us. The Edidosh et Hashem, we set time to seek out Hashem. God says, this is the formula. If you want to build your future, you go with this formula, Ad Yavov Yore Tzedek Lachem. Until Hashem comes and sends righteousness to you, don't worry, Hashem will pay you back. You work on doing things this way, and Hashem will bless you from above, Ad Yavov, till Hashem comes, V'yore Tzedek Lachem, and He throws down like rainfall, He throws down for you righteousness, and Bezat Hashem blesses you for your ways.